another. Let our brothers know that we care. We're gonna get the message, send it out loud and clear.
Loud and clear.
That none of us are free.
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 None of us are free. One of us is chained. None of us are free. It's a simple truth we all need just to hear and to see. None of us are free. One of us is chained. None of us are free. Now, I swear your salvation, it isn't too hard to find, but none of us can find it on our own. We're gonna join together in spirit, heart, and mind, so that every soul who's suffering will know he's not alone. And none of us are free.
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 None of us are free. One of us is chained. None of us are free. Just look around you, you're gonna see what I say. 'Cause the world is getting smaller with each passing day.
Passing day.
Now it's time we start making changes. It's time we all come to realize that the truth is shining bright, right before our eyes. And none of us are free.
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 None of us are free. One of us is chained. None of us are free.
None of us are free.
Oh, you gotta hear me, Lord.
None of us are free.
Oh, please hear me, Lord, when I pray. One of us is chained. None of us are free.
None of us are free.
Oh, I'm praying, Lord. Lord, when I pray, one of us is chained, none of us are free. 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 One of us is chained, none of us are free.
I'm supposed to welcome everybody. Welcome. We're the Asbury Prison Band, known as APB. Greg Flynn is sitting in for Jay, who needs your prayers. He's not feeling well. Brian is on the disabled list with throat issues, or we'd sound just a little bit better. So I want to apologize. At least Brian can make church. We normally play in prisons, where really the hour we play is the 1 hour of freedom that they have. So I want you to think a little bit about this hour. Your freedom. None of us are free if one of us is chained. And this is a celebration. And when we play for those guys in that 1 hour, it's a celebration. And we want that to be just as the same sort of celebration today. So we're tickled to death to be here. I want to ask you one other thing, then I'm not going to say anything the rest of the time. Yes, Iron Man Phil McCarty is beating the drums. He needs our prayers. He is a strong man, and he is coming back strong from very major surgery. We're just so happy he's here. A lesser man would not be here. And that means so much to be with Phil. Thank you.
Amen. And I just want to clarify, none of these men up here are prisoners. They play at the prison. We are so glad to have you here at Asbury to worship with us in this great opportunity of the prison band leading us and worship. It's great to be here to give God praise. Amen. At this time, we really just want to thank our visitors for being here this morning. We'll have the attendance pads passed to you for you to fill out if you'd like to record your name down for our service. I do have a couple of announcements to share with you briefly. The first is that we have new classes during the week. They're going to start in February. February 3rd is a Tuesday, and for 4 weeks at 6 o'clock, Reverend Mary will be leading a study on United Methodist beliefs. So there's a class on that. I will be leading a Sunday study on February 4th at 6 p.m. for 6 weeks, which is on Romans. There will be a special class on February 17th at 6 o'clock taught by Jack Henderson on taxes. If you have different issues on taxes or some confusion of how to fill out your taxes, Jack will be there to help you work with that. We have a very, very exciting class for parents and adults on youth transitioning from preteens to teenagers. It'll be taught by a counselor, Rebecca Spooner, and that'll be Sunday, February 22nd at 5:30 p.m. The second thing we want to let you know about is that Sunday, February 1st, there will be a new young adult Sunday school class. Now, the key words in there are young adult. You may think of yourself as a young adult, so then you are welcome. And we will be meeting at 9:45 in the library. If you don't know where the library is, just meet here in the WAC, and then we'll go to the library together. With that, please stand and share one with one another a greeting and really praise for our Jesus Christ. Let us now continue standing as we join in praise with a prison band and worship.
Well, don't we have stewardship moments now after this song? Well, disregard the lineup that's in the bulletin because we're not going to do it the way it's set up. It just that's not the way we roll.
Y'all ready?
These are the days of Elijah. Declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And these are the days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sore. So we are the first in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. Are as white as your world. So we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice to your jubilee, and at Zion to salvation come.
There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah.
There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God.
Amen. If we would like the stewardship moment for Clark, Gary, and Bella.
Y'all want to use this one? Come on up here. This is going to be fun. Let's smile our way through this. We're going to have a good time whether y'all want to or not, okay?
All right. Does your mic work, Gary?
Perfect. Yes, I think so.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning, Clark.
And Bella and Gary and band. Thank y'all for agreeing to get up on stage with
Absolutely.
Me this morning.
Absolutely.
Glad you're here.
Thank you.
And it's always good to see you.
Thank you. It's good to see you too, Clark.
Good.
Now, Clark.
Yeah.
What was it that you wanted us to come and talk about in front of the congregation this morning?
Oh, yeah. I guess I should tell you that. It's stewardship, Gary. We're going to talk about stewardship.
Stewardship. Okay.
Yeah, and to help get things started, let's do a little stewardship chant, okay?
I love it. Let's
just
do that.
Just you two and me. All right.
Perfect.
So when I say steward, you say ship. You ready? Steward.
Ship.
Steward.
Ship.
All right. You guys did a great job. Didn't they do a good job?
Hey, Clark.
Yeah.
Isn't it a little early in the year for us to be talking about stewardship? I mean, isn't that like something we would normally talk about in the fall, maybe around when pledge cards are sent out?
Well, I mean, it is late January.
Good point, Clark.
But you do make a good point. You know, Gary, now that you say that, there is just the slightest possibility, just a slight possibility that I may have gotten the date wrong, which would be really embarrassing.
Clark.
So give me just a second, and let me just check my calendar here and just make sure that we're supposed to be up here.
Hey guys, you know, stewardship is about a lot more than pledge cards.
Stewardship's about more than pledge cards?
What?
Don't get me wrong, pledge cards are very important, but stewardship is happening all year long, and just think about all the things the stewardship of this Asbury congregation make possible. For example.
Wow.
Quite a list.
Did you know that because of stewardship, a Sunday school class was able to get a new curriculum that helped guide them through some of the challenges of parenting? And did you know that because of stewardship, Asbury supports the Lydia Patterson Institute in El Paso, Texas, where 400 girls and boys from one of the most violent cities in Mexico attend a safe, challenging school while being nurtured in Christian values? And because of stewardship, Asbury provides rides to church on Sunday to those who otherwise wouldn't be able to attend. And it's because of stewardship that we were able to build the new youth warehouse and will soon begin major renovations in the Wilson Activity Center. And did you know that because of stewardship, the Asbury Card Ministry sends uplifting, handmade greeting cards to members of the Asbury family in times of need? And stewardship is more than money, too. Stewardship is about how our congregation gives off its time and energy. For example, members of Asbury are the hands and feet of Christ, serving at Stone Soup 6 times each year and volunteering at Arkansas Rice Depot and teaching Sunday school and driving the church van and serving as ushers and helping with our youth, our children, and play in the praise band and sing in the choir. And because of Asbury's stewardship, we met 100% of our shared giving goal for 2014.
Woo, that's great. Good news.
Wow.
That's great.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Bella, thank you for sharing all of that. That's an incredibly long list. And I don't know about you, Gary, but I learned a lot about stewardship from Bella this morning. What about you?
Well, Clark, I have to confess, I actually knew everything that Bella was going to say because we've rehearsed this skit a couple of times.
Yeah. You weren't supposed to say that.
Sorry, Clark.
That's okay. It's true. Stewardship is about a lot more than pledge cards, and we wanted to just share a few examples of stewardship at work in our church and beyond. And so one of the things that we've done is we want to hear from you, and please log on to the Asbury Facebook page and share your example of how you see stewardship working in our church, in the community, and beyond. And we even created one of those cool hashtags. So it's hashtag AUMC Stewardship. You'll see we have an example out there. And if you don't use Facebook, that's okay. Send an email to a pastor. Tell one of us. Send an email. We'll put it on there for you. Thank you.
Let us stand and sing.
Okay, you can all sit down. This next song is going to be new for you, but we're going to have a little fun with it.
Which one are we going to have a little fun with?
Ain't nobody's fault.
Can I play the harmonica on this?
Yeah, you do.
Sure.
You
grab
sure
a
do.
Harmonica.
I think I do.
What key?
I don't know.
I grab an A
harmonica.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Ain't nobody's fault but mine. Ain't nobody's fault but mine.
I fail to pray and my soul be lost. It ain't nobody's fault but mine. Ain't nobody's fault but mine. Ain't nobody's fault but mine. If I die and my soul be lost. Nobody's fault but mine. If I die and my soul be lost, ain't nobody's fault but mine. Ain't nobody's fault but mine. Ain't nobody's fault but mine.
Isn't that fun?
Can our kids come join us? Miss Laura is with our confirmation class today, so she asked me to come talk to you guys. So I wanted to talk about one of my favorite games. Do you guys know the game Rock, Paper, Scissors?
Yeah,
yeah you do? Yeah? What? How do you play it? Who can tell us? Okay.
Paper, scissors, shoot!
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot! That's right. So, what if I do rock, what beats it? Who can tell me?
Paper.
Paper, right? You cover it up. What if I do paper, what wins? Scissors, cut the paper. And what if I do scissors? Rock smashes it, right? So who wants to show us? Who can we get two people to play? And okay. Okay, who you got to play with somebody. You want to play? Okay, you guys stand up. And let's show everybody how to play. So what did you do? What do we have? Okay. Okay. Here, let's play. Ready? Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Ah, I won. But let me ask you guys, does anybody have a favorite? Do you have a favorite, a rock, a paper, or a scissors that you normally like to use? What's your favorite?
Okay, let's sit down.
What's your favorite?
Wrapping paper.
Okay. So what would happen if I had a favorite? Like if every time I played rock, paper, scissors, I always did rock. Every time I did rock. Hope, what would you do if you knew that I always did rock?
I would do paper each time.
You would do paper each time, right?
Yeah.
Because you would always beat me. So sometimes we have a favorite thing that we're really comfortable with, right? And we like to do that thing over and over again. But it might not be the best thing for us to do. It might end up causing us the game, right? So sometimes we have to be willing to change and change it up, even if we're really comfortable only doing one thing, okay? So sometimes we have to ask God to help us make those changes. So does somebody want to pray for us and ask God to help us make changes when we need to?
Heavenly Father, thank you for his day. I did that there. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for our year. Thank you for helping us stay. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, thanks, guys. Miss Sherry's going to be in the back to take you guys to the kids' club.
Amen. Rock, paper, scissors, Jesus was always my favorite throw in there. Jesus always wins the game, right? Let us go to God in prayer. God, what a privilege it is to be gathered here as your faithful, to give praises to you, to think about what you've done in our lives. If we think back, we can think about all the different changes in our lives, some very small, some very big. Perhaps the biggest change that entered our life was the moment we realized you were a part of it. That changed everything. Changed how we view the world, how we treat others, how we love, how we forgive. And God, I pray that you keep changing us into the people you've called, people to be like Christ. That's our hope. It's our desire. Sometimes we're really focused on that. Sometimes we kind of forget. And we pray in the times we forget that you would show us again your presence and how you work in this world. Help us to always trust in you, your guidance, your vision for our lives. And now we pray the prayer our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As the ushers come forward to collect our offering, we just saw a wonderful thing this morning in that skit that Clark, Gary, and Bella were a part of. And they were brave to get up here because it's not an easy thing to do to talk about stewardship, because sometimes that word makes us feel uncomfortable. But when there's great things behind it, like helping people that are in need, then there's a passion. Then there's a desire to be part of this greater mission of God to transform this world to a place where people love one another. And that's ultimately what we're a part of. Let's go to God in prayer. God, we thank you for so many of the gifts you give to us, it would be difficult to count them all. We thank you for the opportunity to give back, to share, to be a part of something bigger than ourselves, a greater mission of love in this world. Help us to be courageous. Help us to give. In Christ we pray. Amen.
going down to the river to wash my soul again. I've been running with the devil, and I know that he's not my friend. I've been falling by the wayside, living in this world of sin. I'm going down to the river to wash my soul again.
I'm going down to the country to bury my head in a creek. I'm gonna jump in the water and baptize both of my feet. Cause everywhere I've been walking, I'm getting in trouble.
I'm going down to the river to wash my soul again. I've been running with the devil, and I know that he's not my friend. I've been falling by the wayside, living in this world of sin. I'm going down to the river to wash
Amen for the prison band being here to lead us in worship this morning. It's been a great treat for that to be part of our worship. As we continue in our worship, we're going to hear the scripture verse that comes from Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. Hear these words as they are read aloud. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah, and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us bow for a brief moment of prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Your children are listening. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask. Amen. It was at the end of my freshman year of high school where, sadly, my grandparents, my dad's parents, died within 5 weeks of each other. A lot of change on our family. But then there was the process after their death. Many of you know about this, where you have to go into the house and you have to clear it out. You have to sort through all the different possessions they had and figure out who gets what. And then you put it up for sale. And so then came the weekend where it was the last weekend we would ever set foot in that house as a family. We were tidying up the last touches to make sure it was spotless for the people who had just bought the house. And it's the last minutes that we're there, and my mom and I are in her car. My dad, I see him in his car, and we're about to drive off back to Searcy. And for a moment, I see my dad on the side of the road by the house crying, because that would be the last time he would get to enter that home, a special place that had so many memories with his parents. And now the only part of them that's really left besides himself and his family is the cemetery he could visit. Lots of change, no doubt. On a scale of 1 to 10, if I were to ask you how many of you love change, you would probably tell me a 0, right? We don't like change. Perhaps I could do some kind of social experiment where I would say, okay, everybody on this side of the sanctuary or the WAC, go to these seats, and everybody on this side, go to these seats. There would be some tension, I'm guessing. Change, we don't like it, because a lot of times that means we're out of control, right? All of us almost hate change, whether it's small or big. Could be changing jobs, cell phone providers. Have you ever tried to change your cable? It's a nightmare. Changing habits, exercise, and diet. Even a routine route to work can completely unravel your day. You've been there just like I have, right? Change doesn't come easy. And there are three types of change. There is change that comes upon us that we can do nothing about. Maybe it's an illness that has come on one of our family members or us. Maybe you get fired from your job. And then there's the change that we know we need to make happen, but don't want to. And then there's the change we really want to do, but for some reason can't get there. We don't have the resources, or we're just spinning in circles trying to figure out how to get there. Well, let me tell you about the Israelites. As many of you know in this room, they had a very long and arduous journey through the wilderness to get to the promised land. And right here in this passage, we hear the people threaten Moses. Now, why have you brought us out here? Have you brought us out here just so we die of thirst with our children? You can almost hear it in their words. why can't we just go back? Why can't we just go back to what we know? We know about slavery. We know how it works. Because for some reason, at this moment in time, pressing forward with no end in sight, and all this change so quickly, is worse than experiencing such turmoil of slavery. But think about the journey these Israelites have been on. Think about the common person in Israel who all of a sudden has all these plagues happening around them. And you have to remember, some of those plagues affected the Israelites. The hailstorm, the gnats, the flies, the locusts. Think about that. All this chaos and confusion. And all of a sudden, this charismatic leader says, come with me, we're escaping. Escaping the burden of slavery. So you follow. You go through the sea. And now you're wandering. You have freedom, but you're thinking, do you really have freedom? Lots of changes. Lots of confusion. It's no doubt that changes will come our way. They're inevitable, right? They're going to happen. We have to have the right process to get through them, whether they're positive changes or negative changes. It's in our attitude. It's in the way we live our lives as faithful disciples, right? Understand, the changes we go through are so many. It can be scary. The changes from a student who's at junior high to a freshman at high school, very different. The changes from high school to college, very different. You have all this free time, and lots of kids get into some trouble, right? Because they don't know what to do with all this change and all this new freedom. How will we respond when change comes our way, whether positive or negative? It has to come from within. Our faith, our service to God, our love to people. That is ever changing. It's ever changing, right? We remember the passage about Jesus talking about the type of Christian Jesus doesn't like, the type of follower of Christ Jesus doesn't like. It's not the cold and non-Christian. It's not the faithful disciple. It's the lukewarm. Right? The Christian that's grown stagnant, static, not moving in one's faith. So that it helps us understand that we need to be pursuing Christ at every possible moment. There's a person in the Bible that experienced change. It is Paul, right? You remember Saul, he was a faithful Jew. And he wanted to eliminate Christianity from the earth. He despised it. And on the road to Damascus, he encounters Jesus, becomes blind, and just soon after is given his sight back. And his whole worldview has changed. Think about that. Saul to Paul. A faithful Jew to a faithful follower of Jesus. Everything changes in Paul's life after that. Think about all the friends and his family. What do you think their reaction was? Probably protest, disappointment, misunderstanding, bewildered. So in some ways, Paul may have been very, very alone in his own life. And with the great changes Paul would go through in traveling and ministering to people, he had to have the one thing that would keep him centered, the one thing he knew that he always had to be continually working on and giving himself over to God. It doesn't take long when you read Paul to understand that he's very humble with how God has blessed his life. So it's with a humble spirit that we need to have, that we analyze the things in front of us. Becoming holy people is what God wants of us. God wants us to become holy. And my definition of holy is when your full focus, your primary thing in your life, is to love God and love neighbor. Loving God and loving neighbor, and then everything else falls into place around that. You have more patience. You're willing to forgive more. You're able to endure changes that come your way, because it is the strength you get from Christ that empowers you to make it through those times of difficulty. Transition is never easy, whether it's good or bad. It's always difficult. But if we trust in God, and if our purpose we know in our hearts and minds is to love God and love neighbor, it'll change our whole outlook. How we speak, how we act, how we follow God. Don't we know that to be true? It's easier said than done, though. There are times in my life where I'm not as inspired. I feel lackluster, not motivated. So what do we do then? What do we do when we don't feel like we have it all together? I found it helpful to have a faith friend, a friend you can trust, a friend who will be honest, a friend who will hold you accountable to you and your journey of faith. When they see maybe you're not as active or enthusiastic or passionate, maybe they'll say something. Is there something going on? Is there transition? Is there frustration? And I find it helpful that that's talked out with those two. Maybe that's your spouse. Maybe it's a really good friend. Maybe it's someone in your Sunday school. But those people are so important. So we draw on the support of that person. But we also draw on the support of God. God was with my family in that great transition when my grandparents passed away. God was with the Israelites, and they ultimately endured through all those trials of change and transition. God was with Paul when he went through his great transition and in all the great difficulties of his life and being beaten, thrown in prison. So God also promises to be with us and the changes in our lives and the transitions in our lives maybe we don't understand right now. Maybe we can't comprehend whether we think they're good or bad. God is there. And that's who we must ultimately draw upon to lead us through. So, how will you respond to change? Will you resist it? Avoid it? Ignore it as though it's not happening? Or will you face it head on, knowing you have faithful friends that will stand with you, and knowing that you have a faithful God that will always walk beside you, love you, and endure with you? May we boast of a great God who goes with us and before us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. As the prison band comes forward to lead us in our closing song, I would invite you as we stand to sing that we have our prayer rails open for you to come forward and pray if you'd like. Maybe there's a big change coming in your life, or it's already happened and you need some time to speak with God. Come forward. And if there are those who would like to unite with this congregation in any ways to receive membership, we invite you forward as well. Let us be standing as we sing. It's my pleasure to announce that Kelly and Deaconess Colleen Caldwell will be joining the life of our church. I just want to let you know what deaconess means in the United Methodist sense. It's through the United Methodist women, and they take specialized classes, and they commit to a lifetime of service and mission for peace and justice issues. And so we're delighted to have Kelly and Colleen join the life of our church. I would just ask you this United Methodist vow. Would you please faithfully covenant to participate in the life of Asbury with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness?
We will.
Amen. And now it doesn't end there, because we as the faithful body at Asbury also covenant along with them. So do you renew your covenant to participate in the life of Asbury with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness, as you also covenant with Kelly and Colleen? If you do, please say we will. Amen. We welcome in Kelly and Colleen into the life of our church, and we'll have them at the end of the WACT for you to greet. Let us go forth with this benediction. Holy God, we know you are with us. We know you are with us in every circumstance of change and transition. And we ask that you would be with us through every struggle. We know you're there, God, and we thank you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Nobody's fault but mine. Ain't nobody's fault but mine. If I die and my soul be lost,
okay.
Ain't nobody's fault but mine.
Y'all would just stand here. And it's okay to greet folks. That way we are. Hi there, how are you? Thank you. These are the Caldwells. Hi there. Hi there. Good to have you. This is Colleen and Kelly. Hey, good to have you.
This is Colleen and Kelly.
Hey, Matt, how are you? Caldwells.